got a special treat this morning.
Amen.
And we got a missionary from Mongolia.
Amen.
And I don't think your wife's ever been here, has she? Have you been here before? One time? I'm going to have you come up first, and Mrs. Kerouac, and she's going to tell you how the Lord led her to Mongolia. And she went as a single missionary herself, and then she met her husband there. So you can say whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
Thank you.
Do a little dance. Do a little dance.
I don't want to do a little dance. good morning. When I woke up this morning, I didn't know I'd be standing here, so I have prepared nothing. But I'll start talking, and if I don't make any sense, wave at me or something like that, and I'll try and make sense. My name is Hazel. I grew up in England. You might be able to tell from the accent.
Yeah!
I've been in Mongolia for almost 19 years. So sometimes I forget English words. So if I use Mongolian words or something like that, just tell me. If I use English words that you don't understand, just tell me. Someone will translate.
We won't know the difference in either one.
Okay. So I'm not really sure where to start, but I'll start kind of from the beginning. I grew up in a Christian home in the southeast of England. And looking back now, I can see many ways in which God was working in my life to bring me to the place where I went to Mongolia. And looking back now, it's kind of crazy that I ever went to Mongolia at all, because I'm not the kind of person who loves adventure and wants to travel. I'm the kind of person who wants to stay at home with my parents and never leave. And now I'm like on the other side of the world, about as far away as you can get from my parents. So God did that, and he was with me all the way, showing me what to do. And just to quickly get to where I got to Mongolia, my dad has loved the Chinese people for as long as I can remember. And as we were growing up, often talked about maybe we'll be missionaries in China. And it never happened, but when I was 18 years old, my dad said to me, come to China with me on a short-term mission trip. And I did. And I was like the most unimportant person on the team. There were maybe 30 people on the team, and they were all professional people, and they were all going to do something important. I couldn't do anything. I was 18 years old. We painted a hospital and just were there in the country praying for the people. And while we were there, I was thinking about, I was born in England, a country with many opportunities. I didn't just assume, because I was born in England, that I would stay there the rest of my life. I have opportunities to travel, and I could go get a visa for anywhere. Mongolian people can't travel. It's very difficult for them to get a visa. But English people, American people can travel everywhere. And because I'm English, I speak English, so I don't need to learn another language. Everyone in the world speaks English, right? That's what I thought. I was really lazy. I studied French for 6 years. I got a D. And now I wish I had studied French better, but I didn't. I liked science, so I studied science. And when I was in China, someone advised me, if you think that God might be calling you to China, you need to go to university and get a degree. And I thought, I don't want to. I don't like school. I just want to finish school, and I don't want to go back again. But God showed me that, you need to go to university and get a degree. So I got a degree in biomedical science, and then I went home, and I didn't know what God was doing, and I was trying to find out about opportunities to go and work in China, because you can't go to China as a missionary. You have to go and work in China and let God use you in that way. And at that time, my parents went to Africa for 3 weeks. And I grew up on a small farm, I would say in the middle of nowhere, but it's England, so it's pretty small. So it was in the countryside. And my two youngest brothers were still at home. I'm the oldest of five children. Now I'm the shortest of five. And so I looked after my two youngest brothers, and I looked after the farm, and I thought, what does God want me to do with my life? That's what I want to find out. What does God want me to do with my life? And while my parents weren't there, my dad received a letter from some people in Mongolia. And I had met someone from Mongolia before because I went to London. There was a big prayer meeting about for China. And so a young man from Mongolia had come and talked about Mongolia, but I didn't really think about it. And does anyone know where Mongolia is before I continue? Where is it? You want to tell us? Yeah, it's below Russia and above China. So it's kind of close to China. So when I started thinking about Mongolia, I thought, yeah, it's kind of close to China. And if you don't know the difference, Mongolian people look like Chinese people, although they would hate me to say that, because they think they look very different. And so I replied to the letter, and I met a lady in London, and she said to me, come for two months in the summer and see what you think. And I didn't really want to go somewhere for 2 months because I wanted God to show me, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? I didn't want to do something for the summer. But I went for the summer. And when I got there, I thought, I am so glad I only came for 2 months. I just want to go back to England, get a real job, forget about this whole crazy idea, and never think about it again. But while I was there, I felt like God was saying to me something. I didn't hear a voice. Just as I read my Bible and as I prayed and talked to him, I felt like he said to me, Hazel, if I asked you to come to Mongolia, even though it seems like it would be really hard and, you know, everything like that, would you come? And at first I thought, well, I don't really want to. But bit by bit, God kept saying to me, Hazel, if I asked you to come here, would you come here? And over a few days, I got to the point where I could say, I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. And so I'm willing to come and live in Mongolia, even though it's scary and I don't really want to. So I went back to England after my 2 months were over. I had a return ticket, and that was the end of July. And then in October of 1998, I moved back to Mongolia. I was 23 years old. I was really scared. I had traveled before, but always with my family. And now I had to travel to Mongolia on a plane all by myself, stop over in Moscow. It was pretty scary. But God helped me every step. If I had known where I would be now, then maybe I wouldn't have done it. I don't know. But God just showed me the steps. Just do this and then do this and don't, you can trust me. And we were just singing a song, and I just thought it reminded me of, I went to Mongolia, and it says, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, and Mongolia is a weary land. It looks like the whole place is falling down. All the buildings look old. They were probably built last year, but they look really old. But it doesn't take long for everything to look weary and tired. Amen. And everything's a struggle. And it's on the north, where we live, is on the north of the Gobi Desert. It's a desert. There aren't these nice, beautiful trees everywhere and flowers to make you feel like, wow, it's beautiful. It is beautiful, but in a very weary way. But Jesus is the rock in that weary land.
Amen.
And he has helped me, helped us. I went in 1998. Bob came the following year, and we met. And I never thought, oh, I'm going to get married, and it'll be wonderful. I thought, I'd read lots of missionary stories about women who went as missionaries, and they were single for the rest of their lives. And that's what I thought. Maybe that's what God's calling me to. But then Bob turned up. The last thing I thought was, oh, I'm going to marry an American. No. But that's why I'm here today, because I married an American. And so now I'm in America, which is kind of shocking. And we lived in the capital city for, we met in 1999. We got married in 2000. And then we lived in the capital city and studied Mongolian language for 2 years. And then got to the countryside, and I couldn't understand a word. It was so difficult. I don't know if you're learning foreign languages in school, but I am not good at foreign languages. I'm not good at English, let alone foreign languages. But God helped us as well. We lived in a village. We were the only two English speakers in the village for 10 years. And so I had to learn Mongolian if I wanted to survive. So now we speak Mongolian. And we live, We lived in a village in really in the middle of nowhere for 10 years, and then we moved to a town about 100 miles from there, and we became the English language consultants for the whole of a province in the west of Mongolia, which is kind of funny because in my English lessons, we used to play cards and do crosswords. I remember at school, that's what I did. I was not good at English. I got a C. Okay, that'll do. But I wasn't really good at English, and now I'm one of the English language consultants for the whole of a province in the west of Mongolia. And so God did that in our lives and made us to be that so that we can live there and trust him in that place where most people don't trust him and don't know him.
Amen.
Any questions?
Amen. Can you give a Bible verse in Mongolian?
Not unless I read it. Maybe I can read it. I just quickly say something about this Bible. When I first went to Mongolia, I worked with a man who was translating the Bible into Mongolian, an English man who married a Mongolian woman. And he was translating this Bible. He started many years ago, and actually the New Testament was ready when the country used to be part of the Soviet Union. And so until 1990, it was closed. And then in 1990, the New Testament in Mongolian was ready. It was God's timing. And it was ready, and it was distributed to the people. And this full Bible, when I first arrived in 1998, we were told it'll be 2 years, and the Bible will be done. And then the next year, it'll be 2 years. This Bible was printed last year. So I waited 17 years for this Bible. And it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And one day, we hope, if we continue that long, the Mongolians will write something that they will really desire to have the word of God in their language. But right now, that's not the way it is. Foreigners have done it, and the Mongolians are reading it, but they're not too worried about the Bible. But we're really happy that this Bible has been printed, because there was a Bible before this, but it uses Tibetan Buddhist terminology to describe who God is. So the word for God also means Buddha. Well, Buddha is not God. And it also means other things. And so it's very confusing for people. Anyway, I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to find John 3:16. Let's see. Okay, so this is John 3:16 in Mongolian.
Jagat gewalt yutn sin etsen hun truk neg team ich herlsen da sorin gans huge uksen bitle team hu tun detiksen hung monkings oflen dorkwi bogod harim monking amrulte bolen.
So that's John 3:16. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the term for God is Yurtensingetsen, and it actually means Lord of the universe. Amen. So it's two words put together, because Mongolians don't have a concept of God at all. There is no creator. They believe in spiritual forces that they have to manipulate somehow, but none of them are all-powerful, and none of them are good. And so they're living in fear the whole time, trying to manipulate the spiritual forces that may inhabit the river or the mountain or something else, or their dead relatives or things like that. So they really don't have an understanding at all of an all-powerful creator God. And so even if you say this word, the Lord of the universe, you still have to explain what are you talking about? Because they don't know who God is at all. So unlike in America, if you say the word God, most people, even if they don't believe, they have some idea of who God is. But Mongolians don't have that at all. So it takes a lot of explanation.
Wow.
to try and explain to them who he is. Any other questions? A lot of people have said, yes, I believe, because Mongolians will say yes to anything. And I was in a church meeting once before I knew the language, and maybe about this many people, much smaller building, but all jammed in together. And an American pastor came, and he preached, and someone translated for him. And at the end, he invited people, do you want to get saved? And so he said, put up your hand if you'd like to get saved. And every single person in the room except me put up their hand. And I was kind of surprised because I knew some of the people. I worked with them. When I first went there, I worked in a kindergarten. And I worked with some people from the church. And they had told me their testimony of how they got saved. And they're all sitting there with their hands up. And so I thought, well, maybe when they translated, they said, everybody put your hand up. So afterwards, I asked one of the girls, I said, in Mongolian, did they say everybody put your hand up? And she said, no. I said, well, what did they say? They said, if you want to get saved, if you want to believe for the first time right now, put your hand up. I said, well, then why did you put your hand up? And she said, I wanted to please that man. And so he went home to America very happy, I'm sure, telling everyone about how, you know, all these people got saved. But actually, this is happening a lot. We see it happening a lot in Mongolia. Yeah. And it's why we decided we really need to learn the language ourselves. Because so often, things are translated incorrectly. Or if people come and they really don't understand that the people really want to please people in the immediate conversation they're having, truth is not important at all. Truth doesn't matter. They don't mind at all to say anything they think that you want them to say because they want to please you right now. For example, if you go to the bus stop, the last thing you want to ask someone is, does the number 3 bus come here? Because they'll say yes. Whether it comes here or not, it doesn't matter. You have to ask them which buses come here so they don't know which bus you want, and then they might tell you the truth, maybe, if they know. But if you ask them a question that they know you want them to say, they know you want, yeah, you whatever, you they know what you want them to say, they'll say that. The truth of the situation does not matter to them at all. And so trying to find out who's saved and who's not saved is actually very difficult because they can pretend for a long time. One girl came down to the village where we live, and she told us that the church in the town had sent her, and they had been praying for a long time, and she was really excited, and she wanted to help us work in the village. And she came to our house, you know, often, a few times a week, and we would pray together, and she would pray real strongly, and, oh, this is great, you know, God sent someone to work with us. And then we went to the town and talked to the people at the church. And she'd gone to church maybe once or twice in her whole life. And they didn't even really know who she was. And so it was, maybe in her mind it was true. Maybe she had been there and she thought it was just like Buddhism or other things where you just go occasionally to the temple maybe and you kind of believe it, but it's not anything more than that. And so she believed maybe that the people, whatever, God had sent her to the village, but later, just a few months later down the line, she was openly mocking God in front of us and the other people in the school where we worked. And so it was kind of a shock for us, but it taught us something also, that we really need to listen to God and find out, amen, not just hear people's words, amen, and believe them because it may or may not be true, but God's doing something there, and he is saving people, but it's not so easy to see. Like normally in America, if I ask somebody, hey, do you want to believe, maybe explain the gospel and say, you want to believe, people will say, no, thank you. Well, they'll probably be polite, right? Maybe not, I don't know. But they might be polite and say no thank you, but usually they won't say yes if they don't mean it. But in Mongolia, they'll say yes and they don't mean it at all. And maybe they say yes and maybe they put Jesus on their God shelf in their home with all the other things that they believe just in case. But actually, believing in Jesus and following him 100%, it means they have to put aside, to really reject all the things that they were believing in before. Because so much of their culture is tied up with believing in all kinds of other things, trusting in all kinds of other things to just get them through each day. And so for them to see that they need Jesus and he is the only way is very difficult for them, actually.
Thank God for the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God that you say and you know it.
Amen.
Amen.
You could be in Mongolia or something. Yeah.
Kind of a couple different questions. I'll just try to keep it simple as possible. But like your culture, I know you've been talking about it a little bit. Can you explain some more, like maybe in contrast with our culture, how the news media shapes our minds and, you know, makes it kind of politically correct? Is that kind of the same thing you're seeing, or do you live in a more rural spot that's more like, you know, passed down from generation to generation?
Mm-hmm. When we first moved to the village, we thought we'll live on the same level as everyone else, so we didn't have anything. And then we got there, and every single family had a TV. It was a little black and white TV, and they only had electricity maybe 1 hour a day. And for the summer, there was no electricity, but it was a communist country. And they just had one channel. But they told everyone what to believe through these TVs. So it was a very important way for them to communicate with people. And so everyone had a TV. And it was on all the time. I mean, even if you see interviews on the TV of people being interviewed, there's almost always a TV on in the background while the person is being interviewed. They like their TV so much. And now that they have 24-hour electricity, they have big TVs, color TVs, and they love to watch the TV. So they get a lot of information through that. And I think it's quite highly controlled. For example, often now people will see pictures of people in America celebrating Christmas and with the big Christmas trees and gifts, but they are told it's New Year, it's a New Year celebration, because they don't celebrate Christmas and they don't have any concept of Christmas, of course, in Mongolia, and so they're just told it's something else. This is American celebrating New Year. What other kind of examples? They do have a lot of stuff passed down from generation to generation, but mostly when you ask people, they have no idea why they do things. For example, they live in round felt gairs, tents, and at the doorway there's often a saw or a hedgehog skin or something spiky facing the doorway. And if you ask them, why do you have that in your doorway, most of them will say, I have no idea. Whereas actually, if you read about it, if you actually find someone who knows, it's to stop the evil spirits coming in the door because it's spiky. Also, when I first worked at the kindergarten, when I first got there, I thought, oh, all of the children are girls because they all had long hair and they dressed them like girls because evil spirits are stupid and they will think that you have a girl and so they won't try and kill your little boy. And so they dress their children up as girls until they get to 5 or 6 years old. And then they'll cut their hair and dress them as a boy because they're trying to manipulate the spiritual world that they live in. But if you ask them about it, oh, I don't really know. Most people don't know why at all, why they do the things that they do. It's just kind of passed down, but without being explained, without having everything explained.
Preliminary like Genesis work
Mm-hmm. To show that God is the creator.
Right.
And then work your way into the, like, the law, he's the lawgiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can see.
Right, that's what we need to do. We need to explain from the beginning and everything in a lot more depth. And my husband Bob has been working, on a small booklet that doesn't just explain about Jesus and what he did. I think that's one big problem in Mongolia. When it first opened up, a lot of people rushed in because suddenly it was open in the early 1990s. And lots of people came in and they showed the Jesus video and the Jesus film, whatever it's called, and lots of other things about Jesus, but there was no context for them to understand who Jesus was or even their need for Jesus. And so people came and they did things very quickly because they thought maybe the country will close again and then foreigners will not be allowed in. And different people along the way have realized, and we have also understood, that we need to do exactly that. We need to explain very carefully all these, the background of we were created even. They don't worry about where did we come from. It's not even a question that they even think about, or where are we going. They just, it's not important to them. What's important to them is now. And they kind of see time differently than we do. Like, we started a few minutes late this morning. Usually we start an hour late, at least in Mongolia. Because if you were to start on time, there'd be like two or three people. And then we start, and then people come in. Like, yeah, it's a, time is not important to them in just like day-to-day things. And also, they don't worry about the past or the future. So now, in the last few years, banks have started to give loans. It's a really bad idea in Mongolia because they don't care about paying back the loan. They're just worried about today, having that car or having that TV or whatever it is that they want.
America's the same way
now. What, really? Yeah. Okay, so maybe start there.
Are you located in the Orient, like in Asia?
It's in Asia, yeah. It's right above China is here. And then on the top of China, there's something called Inner Mongolia. And that's part of China, and we're not there. We're in Outer Mongolia. It's the now it's the only part that's really called Mongolia, because Inner Mongolia became part of China. And then above is Russia. And then to the west is Kazakhstan. Yeah, but it's part of Asia. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They have a president.
Okay, and then whatever he says is the word.
Yeah, I guess in the same way that America has a president.
Okay. What do they think of America or like America?
They all want to come here. All of them want to come here. Yeah. Yeah.
He's better than Syrians.
There are a lot of Mongolians in America. A lot of them. Yeah.
These kind of thoughts. Kind of a question, thought thing.
Mm-hmm.
You think now that you have the whole Word of God in their language, it'll be a whole different scenario than before. How are you going to tell the truth if you don't know the whole truth?
Right.
Now they got the whole truth of God, that you'll be able to show them a lot better.
We are very happy that we have this, the whole Bible translated. And it's translated in a way that is understandable for the Mongolians. Before this, they had a Bible. It was in Mongolian, and it used Tibetan Buddhist terminology for God and prayer and worship and all kinds of things. So it used all the Tibetan Buddhist words, but it was also very English because it had been translated very quickly by people whose English wasn't very good, so they didn't really understand what the words meant, and they just were told, just write down what it says in Mongolian in English. No, what it says in English in Mongolian. That's the way. And so if they speak English, they could understand it. Because, and for missionaries, it was wonderful because you could find, in you could compare in English and Mongolian, and it made sense. Mongolian is about the opposite, the most opposite language to English you could possibly imagine. They don't think the same way as us. The sentences are all completely opposite. So for a Mongolian reading the other Bible that was there before, if they understood English well enough, which most of them don't, even though it's the second official language of Mongolia, they could understand it a little bit. But most Mongolians, the sentence doesn't even make sense to them at all. And I think because so very few foreigners speak Mongolian, their language is much more, for the people in the countryside, they have to have it the way they say it or they don't understand. For us, so many people in the world speak English incorrectly, and we're so used to hearing English incorrectly that our brains just sort it out for us and we understand it. Yeah. But for them, they've never heard foreigners speak. They hardly ever hear foreigners speak Mongolian. So everyone speaks Mongolian, is Mongolian. And so we're happy for this Bible because it's written in real Mongolian that they can completely understand, but they have to read it. And Amen. They're not so interested in reading it. And so pray that God would put a hunger in their hearts to read this book. Because only he can change their hearts. Amen. We can talk to them and talk to them and tell them, read it, please read it. And we can read it to them and have Bible studies or whatever. But unless they actually read it,
just
pray that God would cause them to read it and speak to them through it. Yeah. The Mormons are in the town where we live, but they just kind of come in and out because it's far in the west of the country and it's difficult to live there. So that's one advantage in living far out where there isn't a lot of stuff, where people don't want to be. But there's also Jehovah's Witnesses are also in town, but I don't see them very much. But we were part of a church when we first came up to the town. We decided to help one lady who was meeting with some believers in her house. And she got offended by some things that some other believers did. She went to the city and she joined a cult called New Heaven, New Earth. It's a big Korean cult. And she's taken a lot of people with her. Now, it's not actually in the town where we live, but it's in the capital city, which is 1,000 miles away, but it's the only city, basically, in the whole country. So it has a lot of influence on people. And Mongolians, maybe all of us, I think, probably, right, get offended really easily. Amen. And we don't forgive each other very well. And so just something seemingly very small happens, and then people get offended, and they won't talk to each other, and they go off. And because of this, I believe because of that, she got involved with this cult. Now she's a leader in this cult. So there are a lot of things like that that are affecting people, and because then they don't know the Bible very well, some of them. Actually, she knew the Bible really well. She just did it, I think, to kind of get back at these people she was offended at. Yeah. But a lot of people don't know the Bible very well, and so someone comes in, say a Mormon comes in and says, you come to our church in Hovd, which is the town where we live, for 2 years, and then you can go to America as a missionary for 2 years. How does that sound? Well, that sounds great to a young Mongolian person, right? I just have to go to this Mormon church for 2 years and be faithful, coming to their meetings, and then they'll take me to America for 2 years. I mean, that's what they want. And so the Mormon church is huge in Mongolia. And there are lots of different motivations why people believe or say they believe something, and most of it isn't really a very honest or truthful motivation. So you can pray for the people who are in the churches that they won't be deceived. Amen. And that they will be able to forgive each other and love each other in the way that God tells us to.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all enjoy that?
Amen.
We'll have her husband preach at the morning hour then. And they met each other in Mongolia. What a place to meet. But like she said, man, what it hit me is, are you thankful for your Bible?
Amen.
Are you thankful that you know the Lord?
Yeah.
Are you thankful for being America?
Yeah.
Our problems with Americans are unthankfulness.
Yeah.
We're unthankful for everything.
That's right.
And God's been so good to us.
Amen.
And the reason why God's been good to us is because of that book.
Yeah.
That's why. Mongolia, they're steep into all kinds of religion and mysticism and all kinds of other junk. And just like, you know, a lot of the other parts of the world. And here we are sitting in America this morning, Sunday morning. And my Lord, we got a Bible we don't read. And you got a complete Bible. And it's the perfect word of God. And you don't read it. And we don't fellowship with the Lord. We don't pray. And anyway. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his mercy. We're going to take a few minute break and we'll come back and we're going to start early.